room.
Don't say nothing.
God damn it.
All right, I'm sorry. I just had to fuck with you.
All right. Let's go ahead and hit that mute button on Josh. Oh, shit. Now it's like you can't... I can mute you, but I can't unmute you.
Oh, God. Okay. I got it. Don't worry. That's a weird feature. Why would that be a thing?
All right.
Wait. So Shane can mute you, but you have to unmute yourself?
Yeah, I had to unmute myself.
And what's the point of him being able to mute you?
I guess just to shut people up while he's talking. That's the only thing I can think. It's like, ah, shut up. And just
yeah, but then you got us. We're just going to unmute while you're still talking. And then continue to talk.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, back to the show I so rudely interrupted.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to The Paranormal Minds, the podcast where we discuss anything and everything of the paranormal world. My name is Shane, and tonight I'll be your host, joined by two co-hosts, Joshua and Thomas.
Hello. Well, strong silent type this time.
I figured I would do Shane's part.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you guys are excited. I'm continuing on a little mini-series, Anomalous Phenomena, Part 4. There's one more part after this, the grand finale, where it all comes together and we understand the universe in its entirety. So
It's been good so far.
So tonight's subject was spawned, you know, if for all of you out there, if you haven't listened to the others, there's three parts that are preceding this episode where we're pretty much discussing anomalous phenomena. Without going too deep into the definition, it's connecting magic and science of the world. For each episode, we talk through how the government or scientists or physicists, whatever, are using the same theory and practices that are being used out in the world of magic, essentially. So as we talk through our other subjects, which was like astral energies, I think we had gifts from the earth where we talked about herbs and crystals and things. We talked about vibrational energy. And I was thinking about all those subjects, and they're all connected, right? But I was like, there's something missing. There's something missing that utilizes all of those forces. And that would be psychics and/or psychic energy. All right. So we've had a couple episodes in the past. I think we talked about like premonitions on one. You know, we've touched on the world of psychics and psychic energy in the past, but I wanted to dive in specifically on the energy as it relates to all of this phenomenon we've been discussing. So when I first say the word psychic, What do you guys think of?
Me personally, I go straight to video games. When you fight Psycho Mantis in Metal Gear Solid, or those really what comes to mind is those crazy like early, I guess it was early 2000s, late 90s, like maybe early 90s. Crazy people that be on TV and they used to be able to like tell people things. They weren't real psychics, but you know. Oh yeah.
I was about to say that. What was that lady's name? Madam.
Oh, she got everybody. She even got my parents.
I can't remember her name.
I can't either.
But it was like Madam something something. Yeah.
Oh man, now I gotta
Madam something something. You're not talking about
Miss Cleo,
are
you? Oh my God, yes. She got Shane.
Hey, I love Miss Cleo. And this is her trademarked power deck of tarot cards, so.
Oh.
Nice. Extra energy in every color.
Don't hate, right? But now, actually, I don't know if you guys even know that about me. I'm not a collector of tarot cards, but I have numerous decks. I'm really into tarot and Shoot, no, you guys have seen. We've even used tarot on an investigation in the past. Okay. So when you first think of it, you go back to the 90s, the people that are on at 2 a.m. in the morning when you should have been asleep, and you know, and end of that. Okay.
And what's that guy, John Edwards? Remember him?
I don't remember John Edwards.
There's the guy who was like you go into a crowd of people and he'd be like, somebody has somebody with a G name starts with a
that,
G.
Yeah, that's who I was. Yeah. That's who I was referring to when I was saying that. I couldn't remember his name, but that's exactly what he did. It was very vague. Like he wasn't an actual mind reader or a psychic or anything. But
So I'm glad you guys say that. So I. You know, just to speak specifically to Tarot and Miss Cleo, we'll get all to that later on. But I am a believer in Tarot, but I get where it's been muddied, right? Like through television and movies and things like that. So where when you say something like psychic now, you think of, you know, these goofy characters or, you know, the little, what's the guy? Zoltar. And the box, the fortune teller in the box. You know?
Yeah.
Which I have a Zoltar reading right here, actually. which is funny because he was right next to a Willie Nelson fortune telling machine in Nashville. I went there a few months back and I'm like, interesting. Okay, Willie Nelson hanging out with Zoltar.
Yeah. That's a huge possibility.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we don't know. Zoltar might, you know, smoke a lot of weed.
Right. You also don't know which fortune is going to come true. Willie Nelson could be a great fortune teller. We don't know.
Well, I won't read the whole cards, but Willie Nelson, on his card he gave me, pretty much told me to take risk and get out of my comfort zone. Right?
Nice.
Smoke weed.
And Zoltar said, unexpected wealth will arrive, but remember he is richest is who is content with the least. So it's pretty much like, hey, you're going to get rich, but you're not really. You just need to be content with what you got. So,
So don't sell weed. Got it.
You'll be rich in happiness is basically what that says.
I think it's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of fortunes like that are like that weird vague, you know, like it can apply to anything like fortune cookie type stuff, which again, hidden, you know, muddies people's views of the psychic world. So I pulled up a few definitions of psychic. So psychic isn't like fortune telling. Like that's part of it, but that's not what it is, and that's what is in people's brains these days. Mm-hmm. So the basic definition of psychic is of or related to the psyche, lying outside the sphere of physical science or knowledge. All right. So the psyche, right, is your brain, right? So psychic energy, to go a little deeper, is the vigor, vitality, and intensity with which the mind functions. This can be positive or negative. So what's interesting about psychic energy, a couple terms that we hear all the time, probably don't even think about. If you go from a low internal psychic energy to a high energy, that's when you say you're psyched up, usually for like excitement and things like that, because that psychic energy is up, right? It goes up. And when you go from high to low, that's where you're psyched out, where you get that doubt and things because that energy dropped low. So these are definitions used in like the psychiatric, I think that's the right word, the world of evaluating the brain. Is that the right word? And so these are more scientific terms, but they use psychic and psychic energy terms, right? Now, when we step outside of that, closer to what we're used to, the definition is relating to or denoting faculties or phenomena that are apparently inexplicable by natural laws. So it's still nothing to do with like fortune telling, right? Mm-hmm. It's all, both of these definitions, they're very close together, is this mental energy almost. And through that, there's so many things that people can tap into it with, you know, the premonitions like we talked about before, or feeling intuition, or we recently talked about getting vibes off of people, feeling good vibes, bad vibes. These are all part of that psychic ability, all in that psychic realm. There's even, I never thought about it, but, you know, we like to go on our paranormal investigations all the time, our ghost hunts, if you will. And apparently being able to interact and perceive spirits or ghosts is also a psychic ability. And, you know, we've thought about it, and, you know, there's all these naysayers and doubters out there, and it's like, oh, maybe there's certain people that just cannot interact because they don't have that ability. Mm-hmm. So with a little deeper definitions on psychic energy, what are your thoughts before we move on?
That Psych was a great TV show, and they should have kept it going.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they brought it back for like 10 movies or some shit. Like,
it was like 3, I think.
They made movies out of that TV show?
Yeah.
What the hell?
It was such a people loved it, and yeah.
That was a good show. Yeah. I actually watched it. I watched quite a bit of it.
But no,
But, which, again, you say that, that's one of those, it was a good show, but that puts that negative connotation on psychics, and it even made fun of it, that they were fake.
Yeah.
So, that's where I'm like, get out of your TV movie psychic stuff and think about, like, what I just walked through. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more of that mental entombment to the universe.
Yeah. Mm. What? I'm trying to think of how I would word this. Oh, man, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the best way to answer your question, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. So we can jump into a little bit through the history, you know, like to look at where all of this started. So again, moving forward, if I use the term psychics, I'm just using it as a blanket term, you know, for right. anybody. It could be, you know, people, shamans, seers, oracles. I think some modern terms are clairvoyants, palmists, telepaths, numerologists. We just talked about numerology not long ago, metaphysicians. You know, there's a lot of groups and a lot of abilities that this term covers. So this is a very blanket term moving forward. But there's been some form of fashion of these psychics all over the world through as far back in time as we can look. Ty, I know you love history and stuff. How much do you know about ancient Greece and their oracles of the time back then?
Well, I know when most people think of the oracle in ancient Greece, they would think of probably the movie 300, right? That was one big definition, you know, thing that played in. But do you want... What type of answer do you want? Do you want history's recollection of rational thought, air quotes, on it? Or do you want just the fact how they pretty much worship the oracles right next alongside the gods in a way?
All right. Well, I think you giving those two summaries works.
Okay. That's good. Because the other one was they were just drugged. So.
Which, yeah, and that, you know, that's... That's part of it with shamans and things through history. A lot of this, where I said earlier, it tied into like gifts from the earth. There has been use of herbs and things like that to induce psychic like trances and things like that to do things. And that's been used by a lot of different civilizations through the years. The oracles of ancient Greece, that I really like that. I think the most popular is the Oracle of Delphi. If I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't heard of that, you know, that's ancient Greece had these shrines, these oracle shrines all over the place. And that was just the most popular one. And what their practice was they would put a priestess or what they called a Pythia as the essentially the oracle. I think they were always over like 50 years of age, and it was said that that Pythia, the Pythia, could connect directly to Apollo. And what's wild is back then, so it wasn't, you know, like the movies, the weird grungy psycho people, you know, and all this stuff. Like, everybody, the government, the military leaders, everybody went to this oracle for guidance. And they would get the guidance on how to move, even wars. Like, they would wage wars based on what this person would say. And that was, I'd use just ancient Greece as an example, but it was everybody, every ancient civilization, everybody knew it to be true, right? And just like each one of these other subjects, something happened along the lines to make us say, nope, it's not real. Where do you guys think we went? So we talked about the movies and stuff. Why did that change? Do you think it's just like the other things with government control and they don't want these type of people to exist?
I don't think it's that. I don't think, to me, when we talk about government control, that's a newer, modern thing. I'm going to say going back to maybe the early 1900s on the scale that we're talking about. What I think happens is one of two things. One, you run into people like con artists, people like that, who play on that. You find out that it's fake, and that says, okay, well, if this is fake, how do I know that the real thing's not fake? So you can breed, and all you need is just a tiny seed of doubt to, you know, make that spread. You know, and the other thing is, after a while, you know, you just have people who don't want to believe that they're not in control of, I guess, their world, right? You know, because according to these, the oracles would say, if you don't do this, then this will happen. And us as humans, we cannot stand not being in control of our own being, our own world. So, you know.
I don't know if I look at it like that. I mean, we do. No, we do definitely not enjoy that. But the way we talked about it in a previous episode, where we have lost the ability to be in touch with this planet, and I think that's a big part of it. You started industrializing everything, so there was no need to look to the planet for guidance anymore. Or look to your gods for guidance anymore, because everything you need is right in front of you, handed to you. For a little money, you can get what you want. So we don't need to ask for it anymore in a weird kind of way.
Okay. Now then, that's a really good point. How we had talked about right at the beginning of this, how different forms of psychics tapped into what we've talked about in the other anomalous phenomena episodes, being the Earth being one of them, or the astral bodies and things like that. So that makes sense. So just through the years, just not a need for it anymore.
Right. But you still have people on this planet that still live that way because they've never been touched by, you know, other people, never been seen by other people, you know?
And Tommy, so I just grabbed, so I read all these books on different psychic energies, different psychics through history and things like that. And I should have made more notes, but there was one of them. I think it was Edgar Cayce, if I'm saying that right. So his predictions also came with the warning that you can change this. And it's like, on your current trajectory, this is going to happen, but if humans can come together and, you know, fix some shit, then it won't happen. which is pretty good. Actually, so Edgar Cayce, funny enough, so he's a more recent psychic in comparison to some of the others. So he was born in 1877, but died in 1945. He was from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. So when I first read about him, I'm like, oh, shit, he knows the Hopkinsville goblins, the little green men. Yeah. But they didn't visit Hopkinsville until 1955. So I don't think there's a relation. But when we're talking about energies and things like that, maybe there's something in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, you know, that gave birth to a great psychic and attracted aliens. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But so just since we talked about him, he started an Association for Research and Enlightenment in 1931 in Virginia Beach, and used his abilities and like natural medicines to like heal people. So he went in that direction, and that I think that institute is still open today. I could be wrong, but to start that, you know, 100 years ago and still be going to help people like that, I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last public eye psychic, so obviously there's a bunch out there, but do you guys remember Sylvia Brown?
Yeah.
So she died in about 2013, and she would always be on the Montel Williams show back in the day, and he'd be like, world-renowned psychic Sylvia Brown, and she'd come out and do her thing. Well, looking into her a little bit more, I didn't realize like she had helped with a lot of like crime investigations and haunted places. She would go and connect to the spirits in these places. And when I was looking at just your TV psychics, I thought she was one of them, but she actually did a lot. And one of those books that I just held up was written by her, and she had a lot of good insights on the afterlife and connecting with spirits and. Anyway, not what we're here to talk about. But so that sent me down my rabbit hole. I feel like I'm just doing a lot of talking, but I guess that happens when you read 12 books on something. So I was not going to talk about anything unless there was the government connection. And again, a kind of a recycled topic, I think Project Blue Book we've talked about before. I'm not going to say experimented on people, but I guess essentially they were trying to harness people's psychic energies. Am I remembering that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So we know they did that. And Tommy mentioned psych. I was like, all right, let me see how many police departments actually use psychics. Cause I don't know that for a fact. It's just been TV shows and stuff. So that's a very real thing. And more utilized than I think people want to acknowledge. So here's where we bring our science, our government into it, where they believe in this shit, because the CIA released a document on July 8th in the year 2000. If you want to look for it out there, it's titled Use of Psychics in Law Enforcement. So it's essentially this document guiding people on how to select the correct psychic and how to evaluate the readings and the responses that they get from whatever style they use. So it outlines different styles of psychic, different, you know, mediums or whatever the correct terminology is here on how to use it for specific cases. Like, hey, for this one, you want a tarot reader. For this one, you need someone who's clairvoyant, you know, and they guide you through that. And it's like, okay. But the first paragraph, very similar to the document Josh just talked us through, was like, yeah, it's not real. But it then goes into four pages telling you how to select one. Like, what is that about?
In case you might want to try it.
Look, somebody was just writing a book or something, and they were like, you know, why not give it to all the police departments? It's not real, guys. But
it should
check
say,
out the idea to the book.
Yeah, it should say, we can't tell you that this is real, but here's what to look for.
Right?
So it just blew me away. So I started digging. I'm like, I want an actual name. Like, I want some super psychic detective, you know, that's been utilized. So went through the Office of Justice Programs through their documents, and found a Dorothy Allison. I'd never heard this name before, but you'd think we would, because this article was published in 1993, and Dorothy Allison had completed 4,000 investigations in her career.
Dorothy Allison.
It does kind of sound familiar.
Did she find an airplane somewhere?
Oh, I'm not sure. I read a little bit on her stuff, but I mean, it's very possible.
Man, that name sounds so familiar. Anyways.
And what's interesting on this, so being called psychic, again, not future predictive, it was right. More like, you know, evaluating evidence and getting that feeling. So it would be something like finding an airplane or finding a missing person and all this stuff, like just tapping into that energy.
Yeah. I think this lady used kind of a, like a remote viewing kind of thing where she could see the airplane in her head and see the surrounding areas and was like, hey, I think this is where it's going to be at kind of thing.
Oh, right. So freaking wild. Connected with that, there was, it seems like they're disbanded now, but there was an organization called PPU, or Professional Psychics United, and that's where you would go back in the 90s to find your psychic, find, you know, like, hey, I need this type or this type or this type, and here's my case, and whoever was drawn to it at this group of psychics would take on the case.
Hmm.
And I'm like, that is pretty dang cool.
That is. I didn't even know anything like that existed then.
All right. So I know this whole time I've been talking about, hey, don't think about future predictions, but we have to talk about them a little bit. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard of Nostradamus, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's y'all's initial thoughts on Nostradamus and his predictions?
Were his were produced with mathematics, right? He used mathematics to produce his predictions?
Yeah, a lot of astral mapping, math. Yeah. He used a lot of, forget, he had like 5 different titles of things he was, you know.
Right.
He was an astronomer, a mathematician, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, he used his energies combined with science, essentially.
I've always believed in his predictions. I mean, they were the best I can remember. I thought most of them were pretty close to spot on, weren't they? Or am I thinking of the wrong person?
Oh, no, he had a tons. You know, he was from the early 1500s in France. Yeah. So keep that in mind with things he predicted. Because they were written in such a way that he does have doubters. And it's like, he wrote them in such a way that it could have been applied to anything. But there were some that were, like, he predicted Hitler, the rise of Hitler, the nukes being dropped on Japan, the Great Fire of London, 9/11. And, you know, this is back before New York and all this stuff existed. So in his writing, and I don't quote me on this, it's not going to be word for word, but he described it as like buildings, a city of buildings that rose to the sky like mountains, and it will be attacked by a flying machine built for transportation. Like, it was like, he didn't say, hey, yeah, there's going to be some tall buildings hit by a plane. You know, he talked, because these are things that he was visualizing and really had no understanding of what they were.
Right. And in the 1500s, all he would know was flying machine. He wouldn't know airplane. Right.
So that's where I read it. And if you guys are interested, you know, I think 2 or 3 books of his. There was a special word they used to describe his writings. It's like quantrips. I don't know. I've never seen the word before. They're fun to read. And then you can see how some would be misinterpreted, but then I'm like, no, I think he was using the best language for his time.
Yeah.
I think coming up, you know, in the future, we're having like the third Antichrist come in. You know, there's a lot of crazy predictions. But I wanted to talk through a couple of his that were more recent, so we would feel them, right?
Mm.
So let's start with 2023. He wrote... And I did quote this down. He wrote, "So high will the bushel of wheat rise that man will be eating his fellow man." Now, everybody's like, yeah, groceries went through the damn roof last year and no one can afford to live. And we're all coming at each other. We're all robbing and backstabbing and doing all this stuff. Now, that's where people are like, oh, but are we literally eating other people? And it's like, but we're dog-eat-dog world is what we've turned into.
And cannibalism was a thing in his time, so he would have known. Right. You know. At least I think he would have, anyway. I don't know.
He would know about cannibalism. It was a big boogeyman, especially like in France and places like that. Like, savages were all cannibals.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting. So it's like, all right, he knew groceries, food was going to be expensive. And to peg that for the year 2023 is just wild to me.
Yeah.
He also predicted, you know, an increasing climate crisis and a lot of civil unrest for 2023. All right. Yeah. Kind of sums up the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then for 2024, what I thought was wild is, you know, the biggest thing here was he predicted a lot of severe weather events. And you guys know we've had tsunamis, wildfires, earthquakes, like all kinds of shit that, you know, the world always has, but it's been intensified this year.
Okay.
That's wild. Now, here we'll look at the future, because he predicted the death of Queen Elizabeth 2 years ago, whenever that happened, and that the king would take back control, which did happen. But he predicts that later in this year, the king will be forced out of power. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward to see if, was it King Charles? See if King Charles falls. All right. So what do you guys think about his predictions? You buy it? Don't buy it?
Oh, yeah, I buy it. He maybe seem lunatic with some scribblings, but I'll buy it. Yeah.
Mm.
It's one of those things, like, it could be lucky guesses, but it'd be very, very odd lucky guesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially through, what are we now, 500 years into the future?
Yeah. This year and the way he described things, I mean, he could probably see, if he's as smart as he claimed all of his titles for, he could probably see, you know, the inclination of the way the world was changing, you know, the world was evolving, and be like, okay, well, in, you know, 450 years, 500 years, it's going to be exactly like this, because if at this rate, this is exactly the you know, probability of it happening is substantial, you know. Now the prediction of the queen dying and getting it right is kind of fucking wild to me. I don't know how he would have figured that one out.
Right. Especially because, I mean, she had been alive for 180 years. Like,
yeah.
There's no way you just pinned it down to the year she was going to die.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I want to jump over a little bit here. So, I had to touch on the predictive just a little bit. But jump back over to tarot. So, we almost started the whole thing with tarot. I said earlier, I've been drawn to it. We've had success in, you know, paranormal investigations with the tarot cards. And I don't know how to read them. I just use them as, you know, a ghost communication tool, right? So I've started working with a great, great person, Maddie at White Rabbit Vibes. So she's on Etsy. She does tarot readings there. So been talking to her for a while, and she gave me some history on tarot, and, you know, we talked through some stuff. Again, it's been a pleasure dealing with her. So everybody go check out the shop there, White Rabbit Vibes. So she explained to me that tarot isn't outright predictive, right? I think her exact words, it is a tool for introspection. So this is where we talked about, you know, tapping in, tuning in to those energies. And I think you know, that's how she does it. I mean, is tap yeah. in to not tell your future, not tell you what to do, but pick up those energies to help guide you there. So Maddie did send over a little bit of history. I thought it was fun just to talk through a little bit of this. So apparently tarot started as a game of vice and virtues for Italian nobility in the 1400s. So it's been around for a minute. And along came a Jean-Baptiste Elliot, if I'm saying that right, a French dude. He started using tarot as a tool for divination in the 1700s, and he traveled France selling readings. Fun fact, he was the first professional occultist and created his own deck that was in print until 1991. That's a
oh shit.
It's a long run, right?
Yeah.
So while talking with Maddie, I asked her if she would do some readings on all three of us. So I have those. I wanted to get your thoughts so we can go through one by one and kind of get if it resonates, like how you feel about it. Oh, Tommy seems scared.
No, I'm trying to figure out how she did a reading on us. We're not present.
So I gave her pictures of us.
Which picture did you give her? Was it the one with the booger in my nose?
It was, actually.
Yes!
I only picked the worst pictures of Tommy. Hell. But then full names, social security numbers, home addresses. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Did you give the maiden names? They got to have our mom's maiden names.
But no, the pictures, the full names, birthdays, star sign, that kind of stuff. So with the pictures and knowing the names and the star sign is able to tap into that energy without you actually being there. So pretty cool process, right? And I think you guys will enjoy these. So when in order of our JST, so we'll start with Josh here.
Hey guys. So I am gonna break it up into 3 readings of about 5 minutes, and they're all gonna kind of follow the same structure, which is an oracle pull for soul lessons, followed by tarot, just based on what that says. Okay, and I'm starting with Joshua. So spirit. Okay. Spirit, what is the theme? Oops. What is the theme for Joshua Bynum? What is his theme for the next 3 months, please? What lesson is he going to be learning or needs to focus on over the next 3 months, please? Joshua Bynum, star sign, Scorpio. I'm going to do one. Oh, fuck. Sorry. I do curse. I'm sorry. Okay. So honesty was the one that flopped out, and its mantra is, I can't always expect the truth from others, but I can expect it from myself. The second one that flopped out was death. I am learning that endings are merely beginnings. Don't panic. It's not physical death. Could be an ego death. Could be the ending of something that you really liked, but not like no one's dying. And then abundance. I am a limitless being and I can manifest whatever I desire in physical reality. So basically the next 3 months, you should be focusing on one, speaking your truth and making sure that you are honest with yourself about what it is that you actually want, because what you want is what you are attracting right now. So making sure that you are not attracting from a place of fear, making sure that you are not attracting from a place or a mentality of like, I am lacking this, therefore. It's just, what do you want? How do you want your life to look like? In what what differences do you want them to, you know, it's like, how do you want it to be different? And then in terms of death, in terms of like, what is ending? It feels like there is, like, usually when that card comes up, there's something that you have been dragging over and over and over again that needs to be let go of. And then let me get some tarot for that. So spirit, clarify this card for me, please. Clarify death for me, for Joshua. Clarify the death card for me for Joshua Bynum, please. Okay, I'm gonna do one more shuffle. Oh, hold on a minute. I'm going to do one more shuffle and then pull. It's dropping hopelessness. I feel like not pessimism, but or negativity necessarily, but like they have their place because it helps you kind of see a different perspective, but it feels like you might be dwelling on negativity or not even negativity. Cause like, I don't really believe in like, oh, we can only feel positive feelings. Like absolutely not. But it feels like dwelling on them might be what needs to, like, what you need to kind of, like, let go of and start, I guess, seeing a little bit more of, okay, this was a shitty situation. How can I turn it around? Or what did I get out of it? In the end, what did I get out of this situation? And it was also clarified by the Page of Coins, which is planting the seeds that you want to grow. So in the same way that abundance, and like we talked at the beginning of like, okay, what do you want your life to look like? You are you have to plant those seeds. But again, they need to be done with some kind of optimism that what you are starting right now will actually blossom in those 3 months. Because if you're just like, well, I don't have much hope for it, my dude. You're blocking yourself before you even start. And we also have the Magician here that came out in the reverse. And this is like having everything. That's also, by the way, a card of manifestation. But in the reverse, it's everything you need is right in front of you. And you aren't using them. You aren't using any of it. So start leaning into your talents. Start leaning into the things that you know. Start leaning into what you are good at. And stop doubting yourself. Because it feels like you kind of linger in doubt or might even have like a bit of imposter syndrome. You wouldn't be where you are right now if you were bad at something. And if you're not quite where you want to be, great. What steps can you take right now to be where you need to go? Even if it's not like, okay, I can't manifest, you know, like my big thing in 3 months, that's fine. How can I get closer? What can I do right now to get me closer? Because you're in an energy of attracting. And that's the thing. We attract, like, negative or positive, you're going to attract something. So let's make sure that you're attracting something you want. Okay. So that's what I have for you. Please let me know if you have any other questions or if anything seems unclear.
So what you think on that?
So I know a little bit about tarot because I've kind of been interested in it for a very long time. I've looked into it a few times. I've had several tarot readings before. This one to me, so let me just preface by saying I take tarot as a very vague thing, just like anything else, right? Like it could be whatever I want it to be is what she's talking about. I can make it whatever I want. So the first thing that came to me, though, when she said death, she drew the death card, I was like, maybe the... For those of you that don't know, I kind of started my own business. I'm going to try to get it off the ground. But maybe it could be a huge jump in that, and I'm leaving Retzer, you know, or maybe it's the weight I want to lose, you know, it could be one of those two things. The Page of Coins that she drew as a kind of a little bit later on in the thing was, to me, planting the seeds was when I asked the universe what I needed to do. What do I need to do? Give me a sign as to what I need to do. And this obviously the seeds were planted as questions to the universe. And what came of that was I got a phone call the next day with an opportunity to do my own stuff for 9 businesses. So maybe...
Yeah, that's where when I listened to yours, it definitely resonated. Knowing your situation with starting your own thing. And I took it the same way as death is letting go of this previous job and just having that confidence. I think we've talked about it numerous times through the years.
Right.
You always knew you could do it. You just had to do it. And
I'm
once
my own worst enemy.
Right?
I am my own worst enemy.
And once Maddie had said the part about the manifestation and the coins and stuff, I was like, shit, that's exactly what you freaking did. You put it out there and it came to you. I'm like, man, yours is spot on, Josh.
But what's wild is I never uttered an actual word out of my mouth. I wasn't like, hey, tell me. It was all in my head. It was all in my head. Just tell me what I need to do. So I don't know, man. That's pretty wild. I enjoyed that reading. That was good.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so I'm next. So let's listen to mine.
Hi, Shane. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Spirit, what will be the focus for Shane Carlson over the next 3 months, please? Shane Carlson, Gemini, what will be the focus for Shane Carlson over the next 3 months, please? What lessons does he need to learn? What lesson should he be focused on learning over the next 3 months, please? Show me the theme the next 3 months for Shane Carlson, please. I'm going to do one more shuffle. For you, we have empathy. I am open to seeing both sides of a situation. Indecision, I use my intuition in all aspects of my life. And love, I commit to the practice of seeing the good in all things. It feels like, I mean, sometimes with empathy, it's not that you lack empathy, but rather that there is, in fact, it's kind of like the hangman. There is, in fact, a need to kind of see what the other side is bringing to a situation, and what part we ourselves have to play in the chaos or the conflict that arose. I'm not sure which aspect this is for, like which aspect of your life it's for, but that conflict that you need to be a little bit more open to. It also kind of, actually, hold on a minute. Because it also kind of feels like it needs understanding, like emotional understanding. And it feels like maybe, I mean, you might be trying to intellectualize a little bit too much, or that could just be in general. This is a general lesson rather than say anything specific. That there needs to be a little bit more of like taking emotions into account. I think not just their emotions, but yours as well. And allowing those emotions to kind of like flow free, I guess, instead of like trying to bottle them up or repress them a little bit. But I do want to get a clarifier on love. I commit to the practice of seeing the good in all things. Clarify the love card for me, please. Clarify the love card for me, please. This could also just be like seeing the good in yourself. So it could be self-love. And the Three of Cups, Three of Pentacles, Crystals, and the Knight of Wands. So one, the Knight of Wands tends to rush into things. It's like shoot first, ask questions later. They get really excited and then they kind of like temper off. So making sure that you kind of see the good past the excitement of something and kind of like stick with it or continue like have a little bit, not dedication, but like, I guess have a little bit more discipline to kind of continue through it. But with the Three of Cups and the Three of Pentacles, and it's funny because there's three of you, this is teamwork. It's teamwork and camaraderie for both cards, really. And also the Three of Cups is about doing more of what you love, maybe outside of work or bonding with people outside of like like kind of getting to know other people's interests as well. Getting out there, because like the Three of Cups is a very social card. And it usually, like when you see it, it's like reminding us to actually socialize outside of our circle, or like see in what ways we can expand, get to know people on a different level. And we do have love. So it's like, if you kind of, especially if you've been struggling in getting out of your comfort zone, Spirit is saying now's the time to do that. And like, I guess maybe seeing, like allowing people to show you their like more positive sides, or allowing people to kind of like show you that they can, like they have something to offer. It, you know, especially if like, I know sometimes we tend to carry around this, like, you're not in my circle. So it's like, I don't know that I have to like you. But it's okay to like give them a shot. That doesn't mean like, that doesn't mean, you know, completely disregard like red flags or anything. But like, if somebody calls your attention, you're out and about and it's like, oh, this person seems interesting, walk up to them, strike up a conversation, and see, like, see where that leads. I feel like for you, it's more about like, it's more about coming out of your comfort zone and seeing a little bit more of what people have to offer, which I know, I feel like you're doing that with your podcast, but it's kind of like, you could be on the right track with that, or it's a call to do a little bit more of it. So that's what I have for you. Let me know if you have any other questions or if anything seems unclear.
All right. So I guess I can give my thoughts on that. So
yeah,
it was funny. So like I said with yours, Josh, the timing was funny that this was like right after we had talked, and it's like, we've got to get out again. Mm-hmm. If we need to expand our group for investigations, we have to, like, it was getting out of that comfort zone, allowing other people in, because we have. I think all of us are very locked in. It's like, nah, this is this is the three of us. And it's like, shit, maybe other people do have something to offer. And, you know, I've started to open up to that, started to be like, yes, let's. And, you know, she said it was interesting, the, since there were three of us and drawing the cards of three. And then it's like, you know, I think, you know, maybe we need to start with us. We haven't hung out in damn near a year, you know, like we do this every Sunday, but we're just not. And that has been missing from me. And the, I think all of us feel it, and it's like, but we're in our own shit. And so where she talked about empathy and emotions and stuff, I saw you chuckle at one point. I think we all know that, Josh, I think we all know I'm really bad at that sometimes, you know.
I don't think you're like gonna be like, it's not a, I don't know how to explain it. In my head it makes sense, but the way I want to explain it probably doesn't. But
yeah,
I feel like you like me and Tommy, when we went out to Basin Park, was that the name of the place? It was in Arkansas. You know, you had mentioned that me and Tommy can talk to whoever, and you just always just walked off. You're just like, nah, fuck that. It's not because you didn't like that person. You were just like, I'm not worried about what's going on over there.
Oh, right. And I probably miss out on some good stuff, you know, some good conversations. I know.
Oh, okay.
But just to be, you know, like, I guess vulnerable is the word, where, you know, mm-hmm. she had talked about, you know, opening up, and especially in regards to us three, Tommy has tried to sync up a couple times to talk through his writings and stuff. And I'm not intentionally being like, no, fuck you, but it's something I know he's excited about, but I haven't opened up to talk about that. So I'm like, once I heard that, I was like, that's probably what that's talking about. And I've been a dick.
Way to fucking go.
Right. And that's the thing. So it now's the time to change that. And it's like, all right, you're excited about this. Let's sync up. Let's have a burrito and you can talk about it, you know?
And, yeah.
But yeah, so definitely resonated with me too. So I listened to it. I'm like, well, shit.
You know, in my personal opinion, it could be that these cards are telling you that this is something that you really want to do. Like, you want this to go somewhere. And I can tell that just in, like, how well you do your episodes just on the podcast, personally. I think I suck most of the time. But I enjoy it when you do your podcast. One, yeah. It's a world of fucking load off of my shoulders because I usually don't have to edit much.
No.
But I don't know. Maybe it is the world, the universe being like, hey, man, you should really push this. Whether it is
down.
With us or not, push it. Shit, you know.
Oh, shit.
But I'm back there. I'll be in
replace
the
J and the T.
No, get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to find two more S's. We'll just be S.
Make sure you get two more, because if you just get SS,
I know I was about to say.
Oh, my bad. It was. I was just thinking about a snake. Just thinking about snakes. I'm a snake.
Oh my god, that video!
I'm a sneaky little slippery snake. All right, you ready for yours, Tommy? Wrap up with you.
Sure, why not?
Hi, Thomas. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Spirit, what are the themes for Thomas Green over the next 3 months, please? What are the themes for Thomas Green over the next 3 months, please? Lessons that he should focus on. Show me the theme for Thomas Green over the next 3 months, please. Do one more shuffle. Okay, pulling. For you, I have failure. I understand that a mistake is only an opportunity to learn. Growth, I want to expand my consciousness and awareness. And grief, I understand that losing something is an opportunity to appreciate it. So it kind of seems like through loss, you will have growth. And again, this isn't, it's like the previous, like Josh's reading. It's not like physical death. It's not like you're going to be losing someone necessarily. It's just something that's coming to a close. And something that like maybe you valued a lot, especially if you are grieving for it. But lean into, like, I guess the, like what you can, in what ways you can grow from it. And if I feel like having, like most of us kind of fear failure in some ways, or like to a certain degree, but if that's the lesson or that's like what you're focused on is over the next 3 months, that means getting over that fear, getting over the fear of, you know, rejection, getting over fear of abandonment so that you can actually like, do the thing and like, and learn what it is that you need to learn from it. Cause it feels like you're not allowing yourself to expand. Like you're not allowing yourself to grow. You're holding yourself back. Then actually let me get just a bit more. Spirit, clarify failure for me, please. Clarify failure for me, please. Okay, so fearing what other people have to say about you, my dude, don't worry about it. Like, doing whatever it is that you need to do or, like, learning whatever it is that you want to learn or need to learn, who cares if other, like, the Nine of Pentacles in the reverse is focusing too much on other people's opinions of you And again, it's because you're focusing on them, you aren't watering your own garden. And this is supposed to be about you. So we're shifting the focus off of failure because, and God forbid, what are they going to say? Oh, I told you so. Well, fuck you. I told you so, you know? Don't fear the I told you so. fear the regret that comes with not having tried it in the first place. Within reason, like, don't go jumping off cliffs or anything, or trying heroin for the, like, not that, but, like, you know, whatever it is that you're trying, whatever it is that you're trying to grow and learn, don't be afraid of, like, failing. And, we have the Four of Pentacles, which is a very closed off card. This is a card of stability, but it also comes at the cost of said growth. So now we are, multiple cards are telling us that you need to stop being so stingy with your time, with your effort, and open up a little bit more. Because, I mean, if the grief is losing yourself in the process, what is a way that you can kind of mitigate that so that you can still learn, you can still try, and not feel like you are completely engulfed in this other thing? And then we also have the Ace of Pentacles that came out in the reverse, which is just like putting or like investing in the wrong things, or investing in something that won't necessarily won't always produce results. So like, what have you been investing your time in that you're taking, that's basically taking away from something else? Especially if it's like, oh, I'm going to do this meaningless task instead of reading my book, or I'm going to go do this, you know, if you suffer from executive dysfunction, this is kind of for you, where it's just like, you have to start learning how to like shift into the things that you actually have to do. And stop being afraid of like not being good at it. You know, if you have to do research and you're not sure where to start, do it for 1 minute. Like literally type it into a search bar. And I mean, these are like very just general examples, rather than like, this is what you're doing specifically. But the point is that you actually need to try. Like the next 3 months, try. And don't give a flying fuck what anybody else will think or say about the thing that you are trying. Because you are meant to, like, it's meant to help you kind of expand and grow. Okay, so that is what I have for you. Please let me know if you have any other questions or if anything seems unclear.
All right. So what do you think, Tommy?
I don't know.
Yawn.
I don't know. It's interesting. So. What?
Nah, you gotta have more than that, man. Come on.
All right. I saw Josh and me both nodding because we knew things related to you.
Yeah. Look, we know you like the back of my own. I know I do, like the back of my own damn hand.
There are points. Yeah, I know. And in ways, I hold myself back. I know I am my own worst critic. And I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that she touched on that I don't like to talk about. So,
yeah. Nah. So it was too real. I mean, I can respect that. We don't.
Like the fact that mine was like the longest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, Well, know that I'm here to support you as much as I don't act like it, but I did hear some things in there that I'm like, you know what, I see this, so we don't have to talk about it, but I can be a better friend, Tommy.
Not me, fuck you. No, I'm just kidding.
And that is the last sincere thing you'll hear from me for the next 10 years.
I know, I got it. It's recorded, so I can just...
Yeah, just play it back to me.
I was gonna put that as your ringtone, so whenever you don't call me, ever. So.
Right. The one time he gets a phone call, I can be a better friend.
Right?
No, he's just going to play it next time I snap at him or something. Like, God damn it, Tommy. And be like, I'm going to be a better friend.
He's done made a song.
Right. I sent it off to be remixed or something. Yeah.
Hey, it may be a badass song. It might be. No, I want these beats.
I could be a better friend.
What you say, call you? I guess I should call you guys more. I called Josh, I guess, a few months ago for something, and he answered in a panic. He's like, I thought something was wrong. You don't ever call me. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh. Well, like, it's just easier to call than text.
Which is weird, because I think we try calling you every now and then, like, you won't answer. You'll just be like, just text me. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your voices. Jeez. I have no empathy.
Right.
What ruined me was, like, my first girlfriend back in middle school wanted to talk on the phone for 3 hours a night. So it's like, I don't want to hold a phone to my face anymore.
Just get a Bluetooth headset. There you go. No, you don't have to hold it to your head. Yeah.
I had one for a while, and I was like, I look like a D-bag.
Just get earbuds. That's all you got to do. Just get, like, the earbuds. That way, you know.
All right. Well... well, cool. So thanks again, Maddie. Everybody check out White Rabbit Vibes on Etsy. That's who did our reading, and really friendly. I definitely enjoyed it. I hope you guys did, I guess.
Yeah.
Tommy, not so much, but he'll go have a drink after this and be okay.
I don't drink.
Ouch.
But all right, well, I guess we can... wrap it up. I just wanted to kind of talk through, you know, the psychic energies out there. I know we were all over the place on this one, but hopefully got some thoughts churning out there. So do you guys want to do some final thoughts?
Yeah, I get up a little bit just on the tarot side of it, just because we kind of ended the show with it. I guess the way I thought about this, I thought about it the whole show. This was kind of what I was thinking in the beginning about the tarot, because you mentioned the tarot in the beginning of the show. Think of it like Schrodinger's Law, and anybody that doesn't know what that is like, if you put a cat in a box and not look at it, it's a 50% chance that the cat is alive and 50% chance that the cat is dead. And there are other things, you know. Speaking of cat, I might kill mine. Yeah, she's fucking meowing, man. What the hell? Shut up.
He planned that.
Put it down. I did not. She's eating a fucking sock. She gets socks and she's like, I have food for you. Let me meow constantly. But no, like, what if tarot readings are that same thing? Your energies are manifesting until that card is completely flipped over and visible, and that's what's manifested on the front of that card, because you don't know until it's flipped completely over. Or seen, I guess, if you flipped it a specific way, you're going to see it. But, you know, you get it. Like,
right.
And I got to wonder if that's how it works. Because I don't know. You know, I can't see the car when it's face down. So,
right.
But, yeah, I've always been big into the psychic energies. It's always fascinated me. Mm-hmm. You know, people that can actually predict the future. People that can... tell you where something's at, even though they've never seen it in their life. You know, they can just feel that it's there. Or mediums that can feel spirits. I don't even think we mentioned that, but that's kind of the same thing, right? Like, I guess it's kind of not. It's more like a feeling of energies, I guess. But I guess it could be psychic.
Yeah, that's. I think we briefly mentioned it as a style of psychic.
Yeah,
but yeah, didn't really go down that path too much.
Yeah. But yeah, I've always been a big believer in all that stuff. Like, your brain is very powerful. We just don't use it.
Then, is he? About you, Tommy?
Well, I got a couple things. Okay. First, did you listen to any of these recordings before you brought them up and all that? I was just wondering.
Yeah, I listened to it beforehand. I did, yeah.
Okay. So you knew what was on there about me. Anyway, so I just needed that for that bit. The other one is I'm kind of upset that we didn't get to talk about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Houdini, and seances.
I guess all those things could play into the psychic realm.
Oh, they were, it was the whole thing. We can talk about that later, I guess. But
yeah. Just do a show on Houdini.
I think that would be deserving of his own episode.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I don't know, because he wasn't a believer in any of it. Houdini didn't believe in psychics and stuff. He thought they were all fake.
But the things that tied in it and surrounded it, I only know from an episode of Drunk History. That's how I learned about all of that. Oh, I missed that show so much.
I learned about that not from Drunk History. But but he was good friends with Arthur Conan Doyle, and Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote about a guy who did not believe in psychics and all that, Sherlock Holmes, believed in psychics and seances, and Houdini was his best friend.
Myrtle.
They ended their friendship because of that. Anyways, but
come here, Marty, Marty.
Yeah.
Now you just spoiled your Houdini episode.
I mean, how do you stretch that out for an hour? Like, start going into their past? Like, so. Oh, there's a kitty. But that didn't sound right. Anyways, other than that, I don't know. I've always been on the fence for things because, like, talking about predictions earlier, a lot of people like to say 1984 predicted the future, things like that, like authors predict, you know, who write dystopian predicting the future. We do know you can see certain patterns and certain ways of how things shape and turn. So some things are kind of easy to predict, like take the book Player Piano. Talks about automation and stuff, and then later on, look at it now. It was written in the 1950s. Now, damn near everything's automated, right? So you can see that thing. 1984 is more of collectivism on top of a government standing, where people aren't just subservient to the government, they're part of the collective of the government, and that's what he was hinting at. And as you can see, certain things of that aspect are prevalent today, right? Like, if you're not part of this collective, and then whatever the collective deems true, people believe to be true. So that was the whole concept of that. So I can understand patterns and understanding, but I've always been on the fence. I've never said it didn't exist. You know, I just don't understand a lot about it to say, especially with con artists, because you do have the con artists, like the people like John Edwards and people like that. So it's hard for me to say what's real and what's fake, but I don't want to say it's not real as a whole. Just I don't know what's real, if someone's real or if someone's fake. So.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and To follow you a little bit, I don't believe in every psychic out there, but it goes back to the prediction side of it.
Mm.
If we are just solely talking about like psychic energies and that level of stuff, absolutely. I think we have all felt it, be it, you know, feeling a spirit, having intuition, bad vibes, premonitions, deja vu. I think all of this could possibly roll into that same realm of psychic energies. And some people are able to tap into it a little easier than us. when we talked about vibrational energy and string theory and stuff, everything's connected, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's how some people are able to connect and find lost people or objects, predict something, you know, tap into our energies, you know, because all they did was shake those vibrational invisible strings attached to us.
Oh my God. Sorry, go ahead. Just finish what you were saying.
No. So, well, now I need to hear what you got to say, Josh.
It's fucking wild that you say that, man. So I heard a new theory that goes along the path of that, and it's we're all connected not through the string theory, but wormholes. Like the wormhole is a construct that makes the fabric of space-time.
Hmm.
And it's almost like Donnie Darko is kind of what I envision with that. You know, he had that
the continuous thing. But yeah, it was like a wormhole more versus just the string theory.
Mm. Okay, yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, when you said that, I was like, oh man, I meant to tell y'all. Like, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh. But yeah, and so that's what I think it comes down to is I'm a bigger believer in the energy than I am for all the utilizers. That's why I wanted to reach out, and I'm glad I connected with Maddie over there because that's the first reading I've ever had done, and I'm like I felt like it resonated on all three of us, just what I know about all three of us, and I'm like that's pretty cool, you know, for my first experience of that. Obviously, we felt the psychic energies through other things, and then it ties in with the other episodes where the crystals and the herbs and the connection to Earth can enhance it. All these connections to the astral energies and things to help do all this stuff. I don't know. There's like I've ended each one of these, man. It's all connected. We're all just one big functioning something or other. And every time we talk through this, I feel like I understand the universe a little bit clearer.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But, all right, well. That was a lot. So we can wrap up there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you like us on all socials, Paranormal Minds. Find us on Etsy, Paranormal Minds. Order a shirt or a sticker or something. Check out YouTube. Should have a new investigation up there pretty soon for you to check out. Drop a rating, like, follow. All the sales pitch stuff. I always run out of juice doing those. Whatever. But again, these are just our thoughts. Let us know what you think.